Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Tim, the Overseer. Welcome back to Spiritual Sense, Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. Actually, it's been a while since I've talked to you guys, that I've been able to speak to you all, and it's a blessing to be back. It's definitely a blessing to be before the children of the Most High. Just want to let everyone know that I love each and every one of you. Missed you guys and hope everything is going good in your world. And we just got to make sure that we are lifting up the believers, that we're praying for the lost, and that we are steady working our salvation and taking advantage of this opportunity that we've been given of eternal salvation and the gift of the word. Amen. So again, welcome back to Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the full armor of God. Amen. We're only just going to be on for an hour tonight. I won't keep you long. It's been a blessing to get the rest that was much needed for the past week. And in fact, I was going to come on last week, but my wife had kind of reminded me, amen, because times are just passing by so fast. She asked me, she said, you're going to go on this weekend? It's supposed to be Labor Day weekend. I hadn't even thought about it. Amen. So I said, you know what? You're right. So maybe I better give everyone, but I think everybody probably just want to just relax and spend time with their families and loved ones. And I understand how important that is. That's very important. So hopefully everyone had a beautiful weekend last week. Hope you got some rest on that 3 or 4 day or 5 day weekend, or however long you had off for Labor Day. And hope you just relax, enjoy your family, just kind of relax your mind. It's really good to take a break and just relax. So hopefully everything is going good. So as far as everything in my world, everything is going good. Grateful for life itself, grateful for this opportunity. And just to let you know, we'll be back on tomorrow night. Well, we're going to continue Revelation 6. Amen. We're going to deal with Revelation chapter 6 tomorrow. There's a lot of information, but I believe that we will be able to finish Revelation 6 on tomorrow. So again, from that, I also will be back on Sunday night, amen, with Elder Minister Bazaar. Amen. I believe it's going to be 4 p.m. Central, I believe, and 5 p.m. Amen. East Coast time, I believe. So we're going to be talking about end time events, which is called eschatology, the study of end time events. We definitely will be talking about that. As you know, that is the conclusion of our study of Revelation that we do throughout the week. Amen. So it's been a blessing to be part of this this movement. Amen. On Chaos Talk Radio, we'd like to send a shout out to Derek Oliver and his team for setting up this platform to reach so many souls. Amen. It's been a blessing to hear the numbers that he's had, and that we are grateful. Amen. And so we're just hoping that souls are being saved and lives are being changed. Amen. So my brother's supposed to be on here tonight. Amen. I don't know if he's on or not. If he is, I guess he'll acknowledge and come on. If not, amen, we'll just kind of wait for the brother. If not, we'll just go ahead. We'll do what we got to do. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into the word tonight. We're talking about the full armor of God, the full armor of the Most High. And the Holy Spirit led me to speak about this, amen, to give you a little break, amen. And I also want to acknowledge, I know that I said I was going to start my my own little station. I do have it set up. It's actually going to be up under my church name, which is Reign in Love Ministries. But it won't be probably until next Sunday, because I'll be on with Elder Bazaar this coming Sunday. I'll give you more information on that tomorrow night. But we're going to go ahead and get into this word without further ado, because I got some scriptures I want to share with you. I only got an hour. So we're going to go ahead and say a quick prayer, and we're going to go ahead and jump right into the word. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your Son and his obedience. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the saints, and we thank you for the gifts that you blessed upon us, dear Heavenly Father. We come thanking you for salvation, eternal life, dear Heavenly Father, the greatest gift that you have bestowed upon mankind because of the sacrifice of your Son, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this day and for being here. This is a day that you promised us and that you have given us life, dear Heavenly Father. We don't take it for granted. We thank you for it, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name, for there's none like you. and all existence, the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, let your spirit come in and teach your children. The Heavenly Father, let all flesh be removed, and that your word may come forth, and that those that are listening may be blessed this night. Amen. All right. So, without further ado, I want to talk about the full armor of God, the full armor of the Most High, and the reason that I was led by the Spirit to share this with you. I'm going to go some scriptures. I'm trying to give you too many scriptures, but you know how that is. I like scriptures. I love the words. So I may, you know, try to hold back on some of them, but most of all, we'll do what we have to do to get the word in for this hour. The Holy Spirit has just led me to prepare the church this year in 2020. I tell people this is actually a blessed time to be a saint. This is a blessed time to be alive. Amen. Just through the Holy Spirit, amen, this is the awakening, amen, of the church. This is the opportunity, I believe. A lot of people call 2020 the year of, I think they said, of you can see clearly or something like that, I've been hearing, or the year of vision, like 2020 vision. I believe that. But most of all, amen, for me, I believe it's the year of the awakening. The church is being woke up, amen. So if you want to say you're seeing clearly now, you can definitely say that, but I believe the Holy Spirit, he shook me in January 2020 this year and say, Tim, hey, man, get back to preaching on Revelation and things to come, because I'm about to send my son back to the earth to get the church. And so this is the year of awakening for the church. So if you're part of the ministry of believers, if you're a pastor, minister, bishop, overseer, teacher, amen, hopefully the word has been blessing you, shake them, amen, and wake them up. We got to wake up the church, amen, because we have to be prepared, amen, for Christ's return, amen. So we don't want to, amen, we don't want to, I'm trying to look at my phone and make sure I don't mess up anything, amen. We don't want to miss this event. We don't want you all to miss the event. Now, if you're a believer, you're good to go. And the reason that I say that, because a lot of people are unaware that everybody that goes to church is not saved. That must be clearly understood. Just because you go to church and you keep a pew warm doesn't mean anything. Okay, you have to know that you know that when the skies roll back and Christ he enters to come get his church, his believers, amen, you have to know that you are ready to go back with him. This is so important. This is an opportunity to receive salvation. If you're not for sure, we always talk about the plan of salvation, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Confirm and read, because I'm seeing all over social media people talking about, you know, Christ return. Everybody talking about the Christ, return of Christ. Christ return. That's great. That's good. I'm glad that people are shaking and waking up. And their son has already been woke, amen, like Mr. Elder Bazaar, he's been preaching this for, I believe, 30, 40 years, about as long as I've been alive or longer. Amen. And we are grateful for brothers like that that are in the trenches. They got on the full arm of the Most High, and they're speaking this word. Amen. They're teaching and trying to shake and wake up those that are asleep in the church. Amen. Also, the ones that are out there in the world, we're trying to wake them up as well. Amen. But for the most part, it is time to wake up. It is time that this message be the primary message. Amen. I'm glad that so many are taking upon themselves to share their message, their own personal, amen, experience with the awakening of Christ in 2020. But make sure that you're also telling people how to become saved. It does you no good to tell somebody that, hey, there is gold on the other side of the mountain, but don't give them a roadmap on how to get there to the gold. It's like, okay, it's great. There's gold on the other side of the mountain, but how do I get to the gold? And so that's where telling people about salvation comes in. That's where I've always preached about salvation. That has been my call in ministry for the past 20 years. And from that, amen, the signature of love. The Holy Spirit revealed that to me. I attached that to my ministry. And now I'm attaching on eschatology, the study of end things, end time events, the return of Christ. It is a blessed time to be the church, okay? We will not be here when the seven-year tribulation kicks off. You know, I'm hearing so many things, and I just want to make sure that there's some clarification, then I'm going to move on to the full armor of God. We are definitely in the last days. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt we are in the last days. Are we in the end times? We are nearing the end times. We're not in the end times yet, okay? The scripture tells you that. We won't enter the end times until the Holy Spirit steps back, okay? And you have to understand that Lucifer, Satan, the whole satanic world cannot do anything without the authorization of the Most High until the Holy Spirit gives them the authorization to do it, because if Lucifer wants to cut loose in this world and do what he really wants to do, man, it would be a lot worse than what we see and what we're seeing now. This is nothing what we're seeing. I'm not making light of it, but compared to what's coming, it's nothing. See, the Holy Spirit has the power to allow Lucifer. Now, he's not going to move totally out of the way, because we know the Holy Spirit is everywhere. So he's not going to move totally out of the way. But right now he is restraining, amen, the Antichrist from coming on the scene. He's restraining the Antichrist. The Antichrist can't do anything without the Holy Spirit's permission. So an example of that is, if you remember over in the book of Job, where, you know, Yahweh asked Lucifer, he said, where have you been? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth, seeking who can I devour. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And he wants to, you know, do things to Job, but he told him, he said, you can do certain things to him, but I won't permit you to kill him. You can't kill him now. And so understand that the Holy Spirit, you know, has the power to say, no, you can't do that. That's why you're protected. That's why I'm protected. Because as much as Lucifer wants to take me out, he wants to take you out, especially those of us who are preaching his word and walking in the Spirit and ensuring salvation and saving souls. Oh, man, if he had the opportunity, he'd wipe us out in a heartbeat without a blink of an eye. He wants us out of here, out of this world. But because the Holy Spirit, that's why the Bible says he has a hedge around us. The Holy Spirit is protecting us and saying, no, you can't touch our servant unless we say so. And in most cases, he won't even allow him to touch you. And so that's why we are protected by the Holy Spirit. That's why we say that we don't have the spirit of fear. It doesn't mean that we're tough and we're bad and we can take on a tank or anything or a missile or anything. That's not what we're saying. We walk humble and loving in spirit, which we're going to get into. But we're simply saying to you that because the Holy Spirit is the one that what protects us, okay? And we know this according to the Bible. Okay, it says, and now ye know what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. That scripture over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 6 and 7, and I'm going to talk on that on tomorrow, is talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? And we learned that back in seminary. You know, they taught us that, and, you know, we studied a little bit more and did some more research, and it's like, wow, man, the Holy Spirit has so much power. And I tell people all the time, as the church, you don't understand how much power we have. Because we're walking and we're holding the hand of Christ, you are protected, okay? So let's go ahead and get into the word, amen, without further ado. Let's go ahead and look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Let's go ahead and go over that, and you're going to see how all this connects together. That's why I love the word, because I tell people, you know, I've heard people in the past say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. I say, well, show me where the Bible contradicts itself. I don't see, I mean, there's some things that you may agree with and disagree with. Maybe some things I agree with and disagree with, amen, but to me, the Bible doesn't contradict itself, okay? Even if it does, again, for the most part, majority of the Bible flows in one direction, amen. If you really read the scriptures and look at it, it doesn't contradict. It actually lines up, and it all goes in one direction, okay? So Ephesians, the sixth chapter, let's look at verse 10. I'm going to be out of your way for tonight. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse 10. This is what it says. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, okay? So who might is it? It's the Lord's might, okay? It's the power of Christ, not my power, not Tim's power. I don't have any power. I only have power through Christ. And understand, the Bible says, the scripture said many times, all power and authority comes from who? The Lord. It comes from Christ, Yeshua. It comes from the Heavenly Father, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So understand, anybody that has any power, I don't care if you want to say it's a government, I don't care if you say it's a presidency or a king or a queen or a government or a party of people or a group or an organization, the only power comes from on high. Any little power that Satan has, he has it from on high because he's allowed the power. All power comes through Christ. I encourage you to read about that over in First Colossians. Oh, I'm sorry, not. I don't know why I keep saying First Colossians. Colossians, the first chapter. Read that chapter, and you'll see where all power and principalities, they come from Christ. They're allowed through Christ. Because why? Yeshua created all things. Okay? So this is what Ephesians 6 and 10 says. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? That's why I said earlier that I'm holding his hand. And because he has the power. It's kind of like a child holding his parents, his dad hand. I always use a dad picture because we know that Christ is a male factor. And so he's holding his hand. And we all know that when it comes to the male factor, and this is what's good about the scripture, is that who protects the household? If someone bangs on your door in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. in the morning, you're not going to send your wife to the door. At least I hope not. You're going to get up yourself and say, man, who in the world is banging on my door? Hey, man, I know that kind of happened to us one time. You know, somebody was banging on the door at 2 a.m. in the morning. I jumped up and went to the door. I'm not going to let my wife go. I went to go see who it was, okay? And so with that in mind, we hold onto his hand. Why? For protection, okay? Because we look for that strength and that protection, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through the Heavenly Father. This is why this is important, okay? All right? Okay. So if we think about it, okay, where does all power and authority come from? It comes from Christ, comes from on high. And so now where do we put on the full armor? Where do we get this armor from? We get this armor from on high, okay? It says, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, Yahweh, amen, the Heavenly Father. It didn't say put on some of the armor. So you think about this, okay? And you're going to see where I'm going with this and why I'm talking about this tonight, okay? All right, excuse me, okay? So the reason I'm talking about this is because the church at this day and time, many people are not walking with the full armor of the Most High. So in order for you to be prepared for anything that comes your way, especially at this day and time, there's so much evil going on in the world right now, and people are just not walking with the full armor. I'm talking about the church, because in order to put on the full armor, you must be a believer. You can't be an unbeliever and put on the full armor. You don't have anything, okay? You don't have any armor. You don't have any spiritual shield or anything. We are shielded spiritually. Why? Because we have the full armor of the Most High, okay? The unbelievers don't, and this is why they're going to be naked in the day of judgment. They're not going to have anything to protect them. We have Christ as our protection, okay? Christ is our all in all. He's our everything, okay? Because he also, shed his blood for us. He made that ultimate sacrifice and died for us. He died for our sins. And because of that, we are shielded, meaning that nothing can harm us now. Okay? Now, can you still pass away and leave from this world and this life? Certainly you can. That's not what we're talking about, because we know that Christ has all power in his hand. He has the power and authority over death and hell to what? He's going to raise us from the dead. And so it's important for us as the children of the Most High to put on the full armor. Okay? Now, let me finish reading verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, okay? Now, let me share something with you, okay? And then you're gonna understand more what I'm saying, okay? Remember, nothing can happen to you as a believer. We're not talking about these people who are unbelievers. I understand there are unbelievers in the church. But in fact, there are probably more unbelievers in your church than there are believers, okay? So many people think, just because they go to church, that's good enough. Just because they read the Bible, that's good enough. Just because they shout, and I guess they're speaking in tongues, okay, that's enough. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And once you receive the Holy Spirit comes in, leads and guides you. And from there, your life should be a testament as to who you are, okay? And you're going to see where I'm going with this, because there's a four-letter word that I love to talk about, okay? There's a four-letter word that I love to talk about that's evident and should be evident in every believer's life. Okay? Okay? So this is very, very important. Now watch this.
Yeah.
In fact, let me get into some scriptures because I have some scriptures actually written down. So let's go ahead and go and take. Yeah, let's go to Ephesians the third chapter, verse 16, and see what it says. Then that's going to lead me to talk a little bit more about what I'm about to get into in verse 12. Okay, so Ephesians the third chapter, verse 16. I had that written down. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in a man. Okay? So what is our sword and shield? We must understand as believers. This is why it's important to read your Bible daily and to study to show thyself approved. We are at warfare. Okay, I couldn't wait to get to that to this point. We are at war, and it amazes me how many people who are in church who claim to be believers, they're not prepared for war. They're not ready. You can't go into battlefield without a helmet. That's not good. You can't go into battle without a shield. That's not good. You definitely can't go into battle without a sword, okay, because you have no way to strike the enemy. And the shield, because you have no way to what defend yourself from the enemy. These are two essential things that you must have when you go into battle. You gotta have something, right? You know, when David faced Goliath, he at least had a slingshot and some rocks, right? I don't think it'd been good for David to go into the battlefield. Remember, he tried to give him an armor. The armor was too big for him. He at least had a slingshot. He had a weapon. It wouldn't have been good, I don't believe, for David to go up against a giant, being that I think at the time he's like a teenage age or a young kid or maybe something like that. Maybe he was like a teenager or something, maybe a young man. But a giant is pretty strong, okay? We know that they have abnormal strength. They're stronger than most average men, even men that are very strong, okay? When you go into the battlefield or battle against your enemy, you have to be prepared. This is the time. This is, like I said, this is the time. We are at warfare. We need to be teaching salvation, love, the return, and looking for Christ. See, I don't want people to get so wrapped up into the return of Christ. We know it's very, very important that Christ return, even when he returns. But we know that none of us know when he's going to return. Even Christ himself said, I don't know when I'm coming back. Until my Heavenly Father sends me back. So let's not get wrapped up into Christ returning, but let's get wrapped up into saving as many souls as we possibly can before he returns. Let's make sure that we're put on the full armor of God to go into battle. Let's make sure that we're doing as much righteousness and walking by the Spirit as we possibly can, because why? We know that we're rewarded by what we do for Christ, and only what you do for Christ shall last is going to carry over into eternity. This is highly, highly important to us as believers. We must be equipped, okay? And you're going to be rewarded. So imagine your job telling you, hey, the more good work you do, the more money you're going to make, okay? That's an incentive, I believe, for anyone, okay? That's an incentive. That's an incentive for us as believers. Do as much righteousness and good as you possibly can before he comes back. Because the Bible talks about his rewards, and he said, I have a reward, and I'm coming back to get you, and I'm coming with my rewards. He has rewards for you, okay? We know that we teach the word, we do what we do because we love him, but that's even a more incentive, okay? You go to work and work your job because, why? You get a paycheck, right? You have to have a job. You have to pay your bills, right? But if your job says, hey, I'm going to give you an extra $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month bonus, you'll get happy, right? And that's more incentive to get them to go to work and be to work on time and work hard. Because why? They have just given you an incentive, okay? We have an incentive as the church, okay, as the believers of Christ. We have a job to do, and we must put on the full armor, okay? So I just showed you Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 16, okay? Right? Again, sword and shield. Now, watch this. You say, well, how do I use my sword and shield? Okay? if you've been reading or if you have read Ephesians in the past, if not, if you kind of look through it, Ephesians, the fifth chapter, deals with walking in love, okay? And I'm going to read Ephesians. This, I really didn't have planned to use Ephesians 5. I'm just going to read it real quick for the sake of just sharing this information with you. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 1 and 2 says, "Before ye, therefore, followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us." This is important because if you don't have that signature of love as a believer, that's the thing that tells me that you are a believer. I don't have a problem telling anyone that I love them because I do love them. Because why? The Holy Spirit, the Most High. See, He is love, as I taught before. If you've been listening to me for a while, He is love, okay? Right? Okay? And watch this, okay? He is love. Okay, and because He is love, we are an example of that. We are love. Okay, all right. And so, hopefully, the brother's on. Hopefully, brother, you there? I don't know if he came on yet.
Yeah, I'm here.
Buster, bus, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, hey, amen. There we go. The brother's on. All right. Okay, brother, I'm glad that you came on to kind of help me share. And this word, the full armor of God is what we're talking about, brother. We're coming from Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verses 10 through 13. I'm just kind of freestyling, sharing some more scriptures with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And also, if there's any unbelievers out there, we're definitely praying for your salvation. Brother, I'm glad that you all, I've been talking for a little bit. So, brother, I'm going to kind of take a quick break from it. Let me see if I got some more thoughts, but I can kind of hold off. I'm going to let you go ahead and share what you got, brother. We're talking about the full armor of God and that we have to have the full armor of God. And our signature when we go on the battlefield is love. And so how do we fight? We fight with love. That's how you win. That's how you fight. That's how Christ is winning. That's how He's winning with love. That's why the scripture says in St. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." That's why we are not going to perish. This is why we're not going to be judged and condemned, because He loves us. And this is important that we put on the full armor of God. Brother, it's good to have you, bus. Brother, hope everything's been going good in your world. And your week, I know I saw you earlier. Was that this week or last week? I think it was like earlier this week I saw you. So, brother, I'm going to let you go ahead and share what you got, brother. Go ahead.
Earlier this week. I'm doing fine. Right. How's everybody else doing? I pray that everybody's doing well. Sorry about coming on here late. And that's what you're talking about, taking on the full armor. That's like when you called me and told me we were supposed to be going on tonight. And instead of my standing in the path and waiting for you to come on, just like the disciples did, I fell asleep at my helm. I fell asleep at the helm instead of being on watch. I fell asleep at the helm just like the disciples did, and I apologize. And I'm sure they apologize to Christ as such also. But
all good to the Most High.
Okay. I wanted to say one thing, and I heard you saying that the to put on the full armor of God.
Right.
And when we putting on this full armor, it's not to fight.
That's right.
This armor that we're putting on is not to fight.
Amen.
Because each other, the fight isn't ours.
There you go. Ooh, brother, coming deep.
Now, we putting on this full armor just so we can stand our ground.
That's right. That's right.
Because when we don't have this armor, or when we don't have Christ, then we can fall into the pearls of this world.
There you go.
And each other's death. And he knows that we can fall into these pearls. That's why it tells us to stand fast.
That's right.
Pray and watch, so that when we do come against these spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, the powers of the dark world, that we can have something to hold us back.
That's right.
So that we won't get caught up in the trap.
That's it.
And I think you said something about love. And we do get caught in the trap. We have that fallback, that love of God to understand that, hey, okay, I love them, I protect them, I take care
That's
of
right.
them. That shield of faith.
That's good, brother.
Yes. So, yeah, the battle is not ours, because there is a battle.
That's
the
right.
Battle is God. He just wants us to be able to stand our ground when those forces of darkness and evil come against us. He wants to understand
that's right.
That's gonna happen. Being repetitive, but
no, hey, you're good.
The Bible has to be repetitive, because we'll forget something in one spot, then he'll remind us later on down the line.
That's right.
Of the same thing.
That's good
all
word,
right.
Brother. That's good. Yes, sir.
All right.
That's
all right.
Good.
Okay.
You know what? That was, man, that was awesome. Because, I mean, I like what you said about the battle's not ours. And that's why he always says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There are many times where people are offended. I tell people all the time, you know, as a believer, man, we get it. And I think we get it even more because we take a lot of things. You know, and I know Christ showed the example where he kind of turned the other cheek. And a lot of times, I know that, you know, since I've been saved in the past 20 years, there's been a lot of times where, you know, if I've been in the world, man, it's been a totally different game, totally different ball game. But I'm so grateful to be a believer and mature spiritually or mature spiritually to where I can walk away from certain things. When people say things that are offensive or ugly, you know, I'm humble and I walk away. And it's tough. And it's better now, easier now, because I have tougher skin than when I first got saved, because people say hurtful things or do hurtful things. And because you want to get in the flesh, you know that it's wrong to do that. And that's not what the Spirit wants. That's not what the Most High wants. That's not what His Son died for. He died for us to be stronger. Plus, as you say, it's not our battle. It's not for us to fight. And it also protects you when you walk in the Spirit, because, you know, though the enemy wants you to get out of line, the Holy Spirit says, you know what, don't worry about it, I got it, you know. And that's what I was saying earlier in Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 16, and also Ephesians 5 and 1, fifth chapter, verses 1 and 2, about love, the sword. How do we fight? With love. How do we shield ourselves? With love. Because if you try to do it any other way, man, you'll lose. And that's what Lucifer wants. Lucifer, I tell people all the time, man, you don't know how much you're winning when you say you believe. He is mad as you could imagine when you believe. And he, you know, this message that I preach, oh, he hates it. Because a lot of people are unaware that salvation is just that simple. He don't want you to know that salvation is just as simple as you confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. And from there, your signature is love. That's it. My signature is love. I walk in love. I share love. I show love. Now, am I perfect? No, I'm not. Do I always walk in love continuously? No, I don't. I'm human. Paul said that I'm flesh, carnal, soul, and sin. There are times where I do err. but I do as much as I possibly can to walk in love and to show love. And when I say that I love someone, I mean that, because why? The Holy Spirit is indwelling in me. And so this is why it's important that we put on the full armor. And our signature in battle is love. And I love what you said, man, when you said that, you know, the battle is his. Because you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me that when Christ returns in the end, at the very end of the tribulation, he comes back with the armies, which is us and the angels. We're coming back to the earth. This is a battle. But guess what he said? The battle is mine. It ain't yours. They're my enemies. They're your enemies, but they're primarily my enemies. And because they have disobeyed and hated me, now he's going to take his vengeance on them. And he's going to destroy and wipe out all his enemies. The Bible says his mouth is as a two-edged sword. Man, that's powerful. We're not going to even have to fight. That's what's so beautiful about it. We're not even have to lift a finger. He's going to wipe them all out just like that, like nothing. And that's why, you know, as a believer, we have it made. A lot of people just don't understand. We have it made. Christ talks about so many times in the scriptures about us being blessed, about the gifts and the things that are coming and how all in all belongs to us. And this is important for us as believers to know this and to walk in the Spirit. Don't let people get to you. You know, there are times to where, you know, we do the best that we can to not let people get up under our skin, because a lot of times, you know, people will try to aggravate you or get up, especially when they know that you're a believer. They'll do certain things. Now, you got people that that's respect, but you got people that'll just try to come off disrespectful just because. And you just have to say, you know what, I'm just going to pray for that brother or that sister and move on. And that's the best way to handle it. Now, I want to take a look at Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12. I'm going to see if I can get these next two verses out of the way, 12 and 13. And then after I go over verse 12, if you want to jump back in, then we're going to come back and hit verse 13. Then we're going to get ready to shut it down for tonight. So let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 12. Okay. Now it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Okay? This scripture is so deep, verses 11 and 12, but primarily verse 12. It talks about, basically, it touches on anything to do with the evil Luciferian satanic movement, which is Lucifer, his fallen angels, the demons, you know, the devils, you know, death and hell, you name it. Anything that comes against the Most High, anything that's an enemy of the Most High, whether it be the governments, principalities, and spiritual places, these governments on the world are governed and ruled by who? By Lucifer, by Satan himself, the fallen angels, the demons. These people follow and serve and worship him. These people who want to put the mark of the beast out there. You see these people with tattoos and signs and, you know, this movement where people are using, are basically, they hijacked the rainbow and basically mocked it, you know, and said, well, this is our flag or our color. And that, if anybody knows anything about the rainbow is the prophet's. In John, they described Christ, I mean, the Most High Yahweh, when they saw him on the throne, there was a rainbow over him, over his head. And so that's a signature of him, was the rainbow. And also we know it's a promise from him that he'll never flood the earth again. And to see them take that and use it as something that's prideful for them, they don't know. Some do, some don't care. But these things that we see in the world, how everything is made okay to be, you know, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. If you want to have, you know, whatever you want to do, there's a saying out there that they got that whatever you want to do, you can do it. And that's, we see the world going in that direction. But Christ is going to come back and destroy his enemies. Make no mistake about it. People can play all the games all they want to. You know, people can say that, you know, their governments, their judges, they're part of the militia or the police force, and they have the law. No, the real true lawgiver and lawholder is Christ. He's going to come back and judge righteously and rule the earth for 1,000 years the right way. And we are his followers. We will be here with him for 1,000 years, okay? And we know that Lucifer is going to be bound 1,000 years during his Christ's reign. He's going to bound him in a pit for 1,000 years. And all these, this that's going on, all this evil in the world that's going on, all this wickedness, I mean drugs, kidnapping, prostitution, you name it, anything that's evil is going to be cast down. And if people don't repent, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that's the worst, you know, that's the worst punishment that can ever happen to you. And so this is why we have to put on the full armor and wake up and teach people and tell people about Christ is coming back. Let go of the things of the world, okay? Because redemption is through who? It's through the blood of Christ. Forgiveness of sin is through who? It's through Christ.
Right.
And so, oh, brother, go ahead. Go ahead. Did you want to say something? Go ahead.
No, I was just interjecting. I was just following up saying Christ as you were.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just following your lead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. My bad. I thought you was okay. So let me go ahead and get into some more scriptures. Let me share some more scriptures here, okay? Because I want to talk about the redemption through the blood of Christ. And this is why when I teach in anyone, if you're listening, when you share the word, I tell people, you know, when I teach, I always share the plan of salvation because I want people to become saved. You know, I've always taught that when you turn down, you got to build back up, and you got to build up more than you turn down. Now, it's not really tearing down, but some people, you know, some people can't handle the word, so we have to make sure that we're sharing the word in truth and love, and not like it used to be back in the day when, like they used to say, when people be beating you up with the Bible. So, go with me to Colossians, the first chapter. I'm going to share this with you. Colossians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 14. But, you know, I have a bad habit. I don't know what it is about. When I see Colossians, I think about Thessalonians. And I have a habit of always calling it saying, first Colossians. I'm like, it's not no first Colossians. It's Colossians, the first chapter. So it's Colossians, the first chapter, verses 11 through 14. It says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Amen. Talking about the saints. Amen. We're talking about Christ. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Man, as a believer, you don't know the things that you're about to inherit. I tell people, man, you know, Adam had it made in the garden. All he had to do was just rule the garden. That was it. Just rule the garden for all eternity. It was his. He had it made. Nobody to tell him what to do. Nobody to make him get up and go to work. Nobody to answer to. He was the head of the garden. That's what the Most High had for him. Can you imagine what he's going to have for you in heaven? Man, you know, and every time I think about it every day, the return of Christ, I think about what I'm going to have when he returns. Man, I get so joyful and happy because I won't have to get up and go to work or answer to anyone or deal with, you know, some of the things that we have to deal with in this life that's uncomfortable. And, you know, deal with just how people treat us and how people come at us for being believers. But verse 13 says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, the past life, the things that we used to do. He's also going to deliver us from this dark world. And he's going to do that in the first 1,000-year rule. And then we're going to step over into eternity. Man, it's going to be beautiful. And watch what it says. It says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Man, beautiful, beautiful. Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. My sins are forgiven. And that's what I was teaching earlier, brother, before you came on, was that all is forgiven. We don't know the inheritance that you're going to receive as a child of the Most High. This is beautiful, man. I mean, beautiful. I'm just going to share this verse. I'm not going to read it because of the sake of time, and I want you to get some more words in if you want to. Read Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 12. I really want to read that, but I'm just going to let people read that. Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 12, how we cast off the works of darkness, okay? But back over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 13, okay? And, brother, before I get into Ephesians 6 and 13, which will be the closing out verse, go ahead. If you have anything that you want to share, brother?
I want to back up and go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter.
Okay.
I was hearing you earlier talk about how you used to be, how you would get upset when people saying things to you.
Right.
It says, 4th chapter, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient, bearing with one another in love.
In love. Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
Don't be so quick to the draw like they do used to in the old cowboy days. You watch the old westerns, and they go into the saloon, and they see somebody that did them wrong out on the trail. And the first thing they want to do is call them out.
Draw.
And you see everybody backing up, getting back out the way, because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Draw.
Run down.
But it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
That's right. That's it.
And the other guy, he doesn't have his gun on him. He doesn't have his holster on him. And he's telling him, hey, I don't have a gun. Let's squash this. Everything's okay. And then eventually, old sheriff, he'll come in and he'll make the peace with him. But I just wanted to say that I was listening to you talk about that. And it reminded me of the 4th chapter, what you was saying about keeping the peace and being humble.
That's right. That's right. Man,
okay.
That's beautiful, brother. That's beautiful, man. And that's the way. Go ahead.
Go ahead. And that's the way what?
No. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so when Christ ascended, he gave himself to the, switching down to verse 11, apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity and faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature.
That's right.
Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And that's that full armor. When we know that, hey, the battle is not ours, just take a stand. Then we come into the fullness of Christ.
That's right.
Knowing our spot and our job in this fight is just to stand.
That's it.
And that's
amen,
my
brother.
Before you go into your last chapter there, your last verse.
Amen. But that's a good word, man. That's good word. Amen. You know, that word perfect over in Ephesians 4 and 13 is a word mature. And I've been talking about that, the maturity, how we mature spiritually. That's what we're to do. And, you know, when I see people in church and it's like, man, you know, this person been in church all this time and you're not maturing spiritually. And it's like, okay, you know, the questions come. But in this particular verse, that word perfect in the Greek means mature. A mature man. Because as I said, we're not perfect. We mature spiritually. We mature and we grow daily. And verse 15 of Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. This is what we do when we teach the word. Because sometimes the word is very, people can't handle the word. man, you know, I've learned over the 20 years of preaching and ministry. I mean, you can try to preach it as light as you want to. People can't handle it. But we try to come, what? We walk in sharing in love, okay? But, man, that was beautiful what you just shared.
And if you're handling the word, then you have to tell the people exactly what the word says. You can't put you into the word.
Right. That's right.
You have to be outside of the word.
That's right. Amen. Amen, brother. I like that. All right, the last verse, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 13. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, not the half, not just the boots, not just the shin guards, not just the breastplate and your garment and your belt, not just your helmet, not just your, you know, your breastplate with your shoulders and everything, not just your sword or just your shield, but it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand all. We have to give it our all when we're walking out here. We have to do all that we can as the believers to withstand in the evil day. Now, I know the scripture says in the evil day, but what it's actually talking about is that in your time, meaning not life, right? This is our day. This is our time.
Right.
And in our lifetime, we are to what? Withstand with the whole armor. So as I go through the days, because we don't know where the enemy is. You know, people will challenge you on so many different things these days in time. And as I was saying to you about it, you know, some people get offended about it. Some people are more mature. They can handle it a little bit more now. But, you know, I just want to say this real quick. The gay community is stronger than what I've ever known since I've been alive. And now it's gotten so bad, in my opinion, that they're so brave that, man, if you're not watchful and not smart and putting on the full armor, they'll be disrespectful to you. And sometimes you have to let them know, it's not what this is. And so you have to correct people, okay, and let them know, hey, no, that ain't my God. That's not what we do, okay? Because you have so many things that will shock you in the house of the Lord, and now you got people who are just going along to get along, okay? And not just the gay community, but just the atheist community, the unbelieving community, you know, people who want to live their life reckless. The world has just gotten so out of hand at this day and time that, you know, the church has basically went asleep. And this is why so much has gotten out of hand and so much disrespect and the lack of respect, because the church is not standing with the full armor. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. And this is why the world has gotten out of hand. So I want to call your attention before I close out. I'm going to give you a word, brother, before we close out. But I want to go over to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 4. And I just want to share something real quick. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. I tell people, you know, people are so much into the police brutality and the things that's going on in the world, you know, the gay and lesbian movement, the governments, the different racial wars and things like that. I tell people, you know, people talking about do this and do that. I say, hey, look, you know, then they come at the church, well, how come you won't do this? How come you won't go get a gun? And I had somebody tell me that about a month ago. You'll get you a gun. A gun for what? Our warfare is not carnal. I'm not stacking up on no weapons. My warfare is spiritual. The Holy Spirit is able to keep me and protect me from any and everything. Okay? Can't nothing touch me or any believer unless the Holy Spirit moves out of the way and the Most High tells him. Okay? We are protected. I'm not telling no one not to carry no gun and do this and do that. I have family members that got guns. Hey, I don't direct nobody. I just tell people what I believe and what I live by. And I try to be that example. But I'm going to read this so we can go ahead and shut it down once you get some words in. It says, but mighty, so you see that? But mighty through God
to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, can't my God created all things? He's the master and ruler of all, any gun, any agency, any police, any military, any government, any presidency, king, queen, army, militia, whatever you can think of that's evil. The Bible says that what? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He's more powerful. The Holy Spirit will protect. Man, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is something that you don't want to mess with. A Holy Spirit will wipe out an entire army. Christ will wipe out an entire army at the drop in the blink of an eye. Hey, man, I tell people, you don't know who I serve. And that's not saying, oh, I'm being bragging and boastful. I'm being bragful and boastful in my God, because this is what he does. He protects us. But he is mighty. Amen. So there's some other scriptures I can share, but for the sake of time, Brother McGuinn, let you share your last thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, I think you said you wanted me to get in the last word, but I can't get in the last word because God's word is the word.
Amen.
And I believe his word is everlasting. And I think this Freestyle Friday, I think it's going to continue on, going to get bigger, it's going to get better once
Amen.
Everyone take a hold. So I just want to say that I thank you for letting me come on and on time and late sometime to
Amen.
To sharing the word with other believers out there.
That's right.
Okay? I just want to say thank you.
Amen. All glory to the Most High, brother. Amen. I thank you for coming on, amen, and sharing your thoughts, man. I tell you all the time, I tell other people, man, your ministry is your deliverance, man. And I tell people, and I hear people say, oh, man, well, I don't know. Hey, let the Holy Spirit. There are times when I don't know what to say. I just get on here, Freestyle Fridays, you know. I just let the Holy Spirit lead me. And that makes me grow. That helps me to stay stronger. And I learn a lot of things from just getting on here. I'm like, wow, you know, that was pretty neat. And that's the Holy Spirit, not me. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through
right.
me. So that's the whole purpose of Spiritual Freestyle Fire, just to bless people, because people are being blessed by this ministry, by this movement, by this station. And I'm grateful for it, brother. I'm grateful for you, and I thank you for that. I just want to share this last verse, and I'm going to shut it down. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 5, says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought of the obedience of Christ. Amen. I got a little bit more to share. I got a few more minutes. I want to share this real quick. God, I think it's going to bless somebody. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, amen, verses 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians, let me get that real quick before the time is up. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. Watch this. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Amen. We serve such a wonderful and great and powerful God. Amen to everyone. Amen to the Most High and to the Holy Spirit and His Son. I'm grateful for you, brother, for coming on. I'm grateful for our listeners. Grateful for this platform. Hopefully something was said to bless you tonight and this Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. We will continue. We'll be back on not next week. We're going to start going on every other week because there are going to be some more things coming. So we'll kind of get into that. But I will be back on tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Central, 7 East Coast. For Pacific time, who knows, amen, who knows what the Heavenly Father has for us. Maybe we may continue to do it every Friday, but right now we're going to do it every other Friday. We're going to see what the brother says. If he says he can handle it, we'll see what's coming. But I thank you all. Brother, I thank you again. I'm going to holler at you in a little bit. Family, just remember, I'm grateful for you listening. Remember, family, you are royalty, and all power be to the Most High. You're royalty. I am royalty. Family, until next time, stay blessed. And bless the kingdom, family. And I love each and every one of you. You all have a good night. Brother, you have a good night, too.
All right, you too. Good night, folks.
All right, y'all have a good one. Good night. Love y'all.